The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Media Day in Miami, South Beach specifically, as the Edition Hotel hosts NASCAR's championship contenders. Today, you will hear from all eight drivers, Monster Energy Cup and Xfinity, about the carrot that is dangling in front of each of them.
Has any of your competitors brought up that you haven't won a title yet, and does any trash talking work with you?
No, they haven't. I think that we're all aware that I have not. I think it's been well documented at this point. So, no.
Yeah, this is the big three with the new one. Just like last year, and we got our ass spanked by the new one, so.
Championship weekend has begun. Welcome to a special edition of NASCAR America back here in our NBC studios with Parker Kligerman. Now, Marty Snyder and Nate Ryan, they're in South Beach. How'd they get that assignment?
What? What are we doing up here?
Man, you will see their interviews with the Cup and Xfinity Championship 4 throughout the next hour. And one of those Xfinity title contenders may be on the verge of a big move. Multiple reports are saying Cole Custer will head to the Cup Series next season and replace Daniel Suarez at Stewart Haas Racing. Suarez won the Xfinity Series title in 2016. He then moved up to the Cup Series with Joe Gibbs Racing before moving over to Stewart Haas in the 41 car. Custer currently trying to win the Xfinity Series title for Stewart Haas Racing. He, along with Bell and Reddick, have been called the Big Three this season due to their dominant performance. Custer, Bell, and Reddick, of course, have combined for 20 wins this season. Is there something you'd like to say about? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I think you said it best, performance.
Yeah.
You know, I really think this is a performance-driven decision if this turns out to be true. And I know there was financial ramifications with what Suarez was bringing in that sense. But I think for Haas, it's just one of those things where you say, hey, here's someone who's really performing well in the lower series. We want to give him a chance to move up. And here's a driver who, you know, when you look at the playoffs and such, didn't make it in. And that's really just not acceptable in that level of equipment not to make in the playoffs.
Well, of course, the focus for Cole Custer, though, this weekend is winning that championship. He came up just a little bit short last year. We said they're the big three. You talk about that performance. Those three have won 60% of the Xfinity Series races, over 60%. The fourth member of this group, Justin Allgaier, only got his first win of the season last week, but he's in position to score a major upset on Saturday. We're going to put Parker on the spot later in the show, get his championship pick. On Sunday on NBC, the Cup Series will take center stage. Kevin Harvick will fly the flag for Stewart Haas as he faces the trio from Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny Hamlin gets another shot, while Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. will, like Harvick, race for their second titles. Now, Truex is going to start our Media Day interviews today. He spoke with Marty.
Well, Chris, so good to kick things off with Martin Truex Jr. He's been here before, won the championship before. So this is a veteran group up there trying to win this championship, isn't it? So what advantage do you have, you think, over these other guys?
Well, I'm not as old as the oldest.
Shot at Kevin Harvick right off the bat.
You know, I feel really good about our chances. I just think the racetrack fits our style, fits my style. Kind of I feel like the tracks we've been best at this year somewhat resemble Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing resembles Homestead, let's be
clear.
I mean, it's so different. But for me, I feel like this kind of track is kind of our comfort zone for the bigger tracks with the 550 package, and I'm excited about it. I think we're gonna have a good shot at it.
So what have you seen develop in this race team throughout the playoffs that make you think, okay, we're gonna be the guys on Sunday?
Just confidence, I think. You know, the more races you win, the more confident you get, the more tracks you can go to and be competitive and have chances of winning, the more confident you get. So just putting together that consistency. You know, winning Martinsville is huge, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
You know, to go there and be able to win. Obviously, it has no bearing on what happens at Homestead, but you want to be able to win everywhere. You want to be good everywhere. And I feel like the consistency that we've had in the playoffs has been amazing. And, you know, without Talladega, we'd have a really good average finish.
Boy, Martinsville feels like it was forever ago, doesn't it?
It does.
It feels like it was a couple months ago or something like that. But because you won your way into Miami so long ago, it's only a couple weeks, but so long ago, are you guys flying under the radar a little bit? Like everybody's talking about Denny, everybody's talking about, you know.
I mean, I wouldn't think so after seven. Yeah. You know, we have seven wins.
Obviously.
Just remind everybody we
remind
have the most wins.
Yes.
And on lots of different tracks, as we mentioned, but. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this whole thing isn't really, you know, I don't really worry about what people think. I don't worry about who's the favorite. None of that stuff matters. When we show up to the racetrack, it's a race. That's why we race. There's no favorites.
Right.
We're not the favorite. Nobody's the favorite, right?
Yeah.
It's a whole different weekend. A lot can happen. You get two short practices to make it all work. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned to you maybe earlier, I feel like one of our strengths is always, it doesn't really matter how the weekend is going.
Yep.
You can never really tell with us whether we're going to be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you say, they look really bad, and then we go out and win the race. Sometimes you say, they look really good, and it's like, it's not as good as we thought.
Right.
So you just never quite can tell. I think one of our strengths has always just been use the weekend to figure things out. It's not a true indicator of where you're going to be. And, you know, Cole and the guys do a great job of hitting it for the race. So I have a lot of confidence in them, and I feel good about this racetrack. And no matter what anyone or the numbers say, I think we're going to have a really good shot at it.
Well, but it might take that Sunday to win the championship. He's been here before. He's done it before, Krista. Hoping he can pull it off again here in Miami on Sunday. That's Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, and obviously very comfortable, confident, talks about that consistency. Will that be enough? Why or why not? What's in Martin Truex's favor?
Well, I like his bringing up seven wins. You know, I think that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, I don't think you can underestimate that win at Martinsville. What that does for this race team mentally, what it did for them going into Phoenix, where they talked about, you know, sending crew members back, leaving a crew member at the shop to work on that Miami car. I just think there's so many things that are so positive for that race team mentally and physically that allow them to go into this race in such a relaxed mood. You see, Martin looks very relaxed, although he is many times. And I think that's another thing about this race team that's one of their strengths. He sort of alluded to there, but, you know, when you spend time with this race team, you notice they don't get worried. They don't get anxiety. You know, Cole Pearn and Martin Truex just have a great demeanor about themselves, and they're very calm all the time. And he mentioned, you know, we let the weekend kind of play itself out. That's what I've seen them do in this position before, in the championship four position, spending time around them in practice. You just see they're so calm. They're so confident. So I absolutely think with seven wins, all that confidence, the time to work on it, they have to be very relaxed and thinking, hey, look, this is our championship to win.
Yeah, the gift of time for preparation. That could be
the
X factor for them. Martin Truex Jr. is also, how about this, he's one of six drivers who have won back-to-back championships in the Xfinity Series. Did you remember that? Well, Saturday, Tyler Reddick can join that group. If he does, he will be the first to win consecutive Xfinity titles with two different teams. Nate Ryan spoke with him earlier today.
Tyler, you sort of joked last week that you're the fourth driver in and so you're the underdog. But really, you're not, right? Well, I mean, you won this race a year ago. You're the defending series champion.
Yeah, but I mean, it is kind of funny that even though with the much different regular season and playoffs we had, that we still were the last car in, which it is kind of funny. But I know what you're saying. This race played out really well in our favor a year ago, and we were able to capitalize and go to victory lane and get a championship trophy while at it.
And you did it by running the high line, and not everybody could do that in that race a year ago. I think you've said that everybody probably has learned your secrets. They can look at the data. They can look at the Junior Motorsports and Justin Allgaier has your data from last year. Does that dull your edge a little bit going in this race, or do you feel like you still have an advantage?
It's hard to say. I don't want to say that I still have it, because that might just motivate them to prove me wrong even more, but you really don't know. We got a different tire than we had a year ago, and you know, Cole Custer and Christopher showed a lot of speed on it. It may play into more of a move around the racetrack kind of feel, or it might play more into the running the fence. But ultimately, I think the feel's going to be a little bit different. I don't know. You know, the window to setup-wise might be different too, but they're going to realize that, and they're going to be working harder on it. They'll be more aggressive in the race, and you know, they just saw that. I didn't leave anything out there to spare in that race, especially at the end. So, you know, they might be in the way and might have to figure out a way around them. They might be faster. I don't know. But I'm excited to see, you know, what it's going to be when we get there.
And you mentioned Cole Custer, Christopher Bell. You're part of that big three this year. What would it mean not just to win your second consecutive championship before you go to Cup, but to beat both of those guys, were able to win for the second consecutive year? You guys have had such a great season-long battle.
Yeah, you know, it'd mean a lot. I mean, we've been really, really close on speed. here as of late on these mile and a halves. I mean, arguably, Christopher's been able to close out, lead a lot of laps, be really, really fast. But we've been right there. We just, it takes us. We would have led a lot of laps if I had tape on the grill four times. So, you know, the pressure's on one more time, and it'd be nice to go out and beat them in this very pressure-filled moment that we're going to have Saturday.
All right. Well, Tyler, you certainly delivered on that pressure last year. Krista, we'll see if you can do it again this Sunday at Homestead Miami Speedway, or Saturday at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I mean, Tyler Reddick does sort of feel like an underdog or under the radar, even though he's a defending series champ. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, is this just because, like, last year he was sort of in that position and he shocked us all and went out and won a championship?
It's crazy. You're watching, you're like, oh, that's right, he won. Oh, yeah, he did have speed. Oh, that's right. It's like you forget all the things that he's done this year.
I think he's just trying to set the expectations low
I
think it's a little game right there. But, hey, look, I think one of the things that I love watching about Tyler is that he probably can try to do those things, but when you watch him drive a race car, it's hard to have low expectations because he has such a crazy style. It's a great style to watch. And the way he won this championship last year, he kind of figured out something that no one else saw. With this composite body, you could get into that wall gently enough and not really affect your race car. We saw others try it, and they got in the wall too hard. He just figured out that perfect way of hitting the wall. He got away with it, and that's how he went on to win the championship. Now, has that been exposed? Yes. But does that mean that those other three can do it? I don't know. I don't think we have that answer, as he said, till we get in the race. So this is a very wide-open championship battle amongst these Xfinity regulars, and I think if you wanted to put a favorite on it, if it does go to the wall, you have to give it to him, but I don't think it's going to exactly be the case.
So the Xfinity Series Highline, though, may have a traffic jam. We'll have to see what happens if they figure it out. Number two going for two in the Xfinity Series. We have more interviews to come with the Cup Series Championship Four, including Kevin Harvick, hoping to join an elite list, Denny Hamlin on the hunt for his first title, and Kyle Busch wanting to end all doubt. They are all on the way here on NASCAR America.
Kevin Harvick sees the checkered flag waving, and he is your 2014 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champ.
Holy cow! Unbelievable! Unbelievable!
His 29th career win will be the biggest of his career.
You are the 2014 Sprint Cup champion.
Can you say, I believe Daddy won?
I'm going to sleep for a week.
Kevin Harvick's championship in 2014 highlights an amazing record at Miami. On Sunday, he hopes to reach the top once again. Nate Ryan caught up with him in South Beach.
So, Kevin, last year it was Joey Logano saying it was the big three and me. This year it's the three JGR cars and you. I don't know if there's a clever way rhyme that.
Yeah, hopefully it works out the same way.
Yeah, exactly. He wins the championship.
That's right.
You come in essentially three against one. Kyle Petty said earlier this week he thinks you're dangerous in this type of situations. Jeff Burton said he thinks you and your team like it when it's three against one. It's you guys against the world. Do you have that sense? Is that a fair assessment that, like, the wrestler in you comes out when you're in a fight like this?
Well, it's actually a much easier situation to succeed in, just because of the fact that you can kind of fly under the radar a little bit. The expectations are a little bit lower. And, you know, for us, we have a lot less drama to deal with, it sounds like, on how the weekend's going to work, how it worked in the shop, and how you're going to split the cars up, and who's going to share information. And, you know, we've had a whole organization working on one car, not just one car, but really working on the details of the four car, to come down here to Homestead and try to win a championship.
This package will be the first time raced at Homestead. The stats say, Kevin, that you are the best at this track. Best average finish, most top tens. And Rodney Childers, your crew chief, told Parker Kligerman earlier this week that he thinks running the high side against the wall will be beneficial with this package. And he said, when you've been successful at this track, that's what you've done. Do you feel confident going in that way?
Yeah, you know, I think, for us, we really hadn't had to concentrate on that high groove a lot in the past. And you know, the one thing about this particular weekend is you don't have to worry about stage points. So you don't have to worry about, you know, your car as much during the day, other than you just need to stay on the lead lap, you need to stay towards the front of the field, and you need to take care of your car. So that becomes more of an old school race, I think, as we go through the day, because you know it's going tonight, you know you're going to have to get up against the fence at some point in order to carry the momentum that it takes with these cars to have speed. So we'll just look for Larson and try to follow him when it comes time to get up next to the wall.
I'm sure you'll also be looking at your family at this race. You talked out after the Texas win about how the team is a priority, but also having your family there. They've been there throughout the playoffs. I'm sure Keelan will be checking tire pressures on Sunday.
For sure.
But what would it mean to you if you were able to win that second championship and have him there and Delaina and now Piper as well? What would it mean? How special would that be?
Yeah, well, you know, it was really special to have Piper in victory lane for the first time in Indy and have Keelan and Delaina there to celebrate as a family. We're able to do that again in Texas. And, you know, those pictures are priceless. Piper may not remember what's going on, but I know Keelan does, and I know he's paying attention. And it's important, you know, to Delaina and myself to share those moments as a family. And Delaina worries about it more than I do, but she's worried about Piper knowing exactly what Dad does and being old enough to understand that as you know, I get towards the end of my career. So it's definitely fun to have them there. It would be great to have a picture of all four of us with the championship trophy next to Delaina, myself, and Keelan from 2014.
Yep, he'll be going for a special moment once again at Homestead for the second time. Kevin Harvick will try to celebrate that with his family, Krista, on Sunday at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Yeah, we know how much family means to Kevin, to all these drivers. But who is this guy talking about? I mean, the fact that Kevin was like the games player and the hard nose, and all of a sudden, you know, he's talking about family. But he did say this is an old school race, and that does play into, I think, the old man's favor.
Well, yeah, he's the oldest one there, but I think he's also makes him maybe one of the more not smartest, but you know, most gamesmanship.
I saw some gamesmanship.
Yeah,
there?
I saw it there. Okay, where? So when he gives the little dig at Joe Gibbs Racing and the fact that with having three cars there, they've had to make decisions about how much information they're sharing, how that's going to work out, right? Who? How do you see what each other's working on in the shop? I think that was a little dig, classic Kevin Harvick style, to say, hey, we didn't have to worry about that. We had one car to focus on here at Stuart Haas Racing. That's the four car. We're going to put all our effort into that. You know, he's got three teammates there that if he needs information about what's happening and what they're running, he's going to get it. They're going to get that information. So I think it very much lines up for him and Rodney Childers to have the full might Stuart Haas behind them with that little jab at JGR.
Well, no question that Rodney and Kevin love a challenge. So
if it's
a challenge to go up against Joe Gibbs Racing, they're ready for it. And each of the eight drivers racing for a title, again, in Xfinity and Cup, started out like so many others across the country as a kid with a lead foot and a dream. At this afternoon's media day, there was a special announcement about how viewers can watch those dreams play out beginning next season. FansChoice.tv will now become Track Pass on NBC Sports Gold. The partnership between NBC and NASCAR will give you at home more live motorsports plus a large library of historical on-demand content. Track Pass will have live events from NASCAR, IMSA, ARCA, and American Flat Track, and it will also carry some of the biggest grassroots races in the country. Track Pass launches on NBC Sports Gold in early December.
This is an evolution of FansChoice.tv. This is an opportunity for us to take all the good things that have happened there and then, frankly, higher production value across all devices. Additional content that will go on there, just a tremendous partnership. So we're thrilled to be announcing this today. It's been a long time coming.
And we all know we can't be there every week. We can't go to short tracks every week. And being able to just pull your phone out and watch the race, and I mean a short track race, a modified race, all this, it's just amazing how many different types of racing. It's not all just NASCAR, it's racing in general, and I think that's huge.
This is in your wheelhouse, Parker.
I love it. You know, the thing is, I just remember when I was first racing short tracks around the country and such, I wanted my friends, my family to see my racing. This sort of thing didn't exist, you know, just 15 years ago. So I love it. I love that this is growing. This is something that the fans have an option to go check out more short track racing. More racing has a chance to reach new audiences. This is overall a great thing for the sport of motorsports, to have more people have the chance to see it and see drivers and teams and crews all work their way through the ranks. This can be an awesome thing.
Yeah, everyone here in Connecticut, this part of the country, they're excited about the modifieds. Modifieds are going to be there too. Could it be a double championship weekend for Joe Gibbs Racing? Christopher Bell and Kyle Busch hope to make it happen. We'll hear from them both when we come back.
Here comes the 18 of Kyle Busch.
Just 8 months ago, he was recovering from a broken leg and a broken foot. He missed 11 races. He's now back, looking to break the dreams of three other championship contenders.
no one has battled through as much pain and had as much perseverance as 30-year-old Kyle Busch. Tonight he earns his first Cup title.
Yeah, you guys are awesome!
This is so unbelievable, but yet so awesome at the same time.
A dream of a lifetime, a dream come true.
It is crazy. He did it in a shortened year. He goes for his second championship this weekend in Miami. Our coverage starts tomorrow, leading all the way up to the trophy celebration on Sunday. Speaking of Kyle, did you see before the break that shot of Kyle kind of running?
Yes.
What was that? Well, he got the first win of the week while he and the other title contenders were in New York City. Teammate Denny Hamlin captured it all.
Mr. Kyle Busch right here. Is putting on his shoes. He says,
borrowed shoes.
Yeah, and we are in New York City. We're roughly 5 miles from the hotel. He says he can run to the hotel quicker than we're gonna get there by car.
Jared, you got it? All right, good luck to him.
He's gonna have to stop for traffic, and he's gonna have to stop at half the lights that we're gonna have to stop at, not to mention it's about ready to start raining.
Kyle says he's there, that we have lost this bet.
Kyle?
What time is it?
12:18.
12:18.
It's 36 degrees out here, and snow flurries were starting to fall, but we won.
This is what happens when you lose a bet. You got to carry the guy's damn shoes.
Congratulations to Kyle.
I mean,
he got his first and hopefully his only win of the week.
Using Waze. That was the problem. It was routing him around the traffic. I love it. It hasn't always been fun for Kyle Busch this season, but Rowdy has made it back to the title race for a fifth straight year. Nate Ryan has more with him.
Kyle, last year you told us that you studied notes for 3 days, past 3 years for Homestead Miami Speedway. You buried your nose in data, and you ran horrible.
Yeah.
This year I see you running through the streets of New York in freezing weather to win a bet. Is it safe to say, have you changed your approach for 2019 championship round, a little bit less overthinking, over-preparing? Or?
No, not entirely. I'm still thinking, I'm still preparing, I'm still doing the watching and still doing everything I need to do to be able to have as good of a mindset and as good of preparation that you possibly can have going into a final race. You know, I don't think, you know, for Peyton Manning getting blown out against the Seahawks in Super Bowl 49 changed any of his demeanor whatsoever to how he was going to prepare for Super Bowl 50 when they went and beat the Carolina Panthers and won the championship. So to me, just keep doing the same stuff you've always done since 2015 that has gotten me to that championship.
But still win a bet for about $1,000 for running through the streets of New York.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I wasn't like I had my computer in front of me anyway, and I was missing any time studying.
So this race, Kyle, new rules package this year for Homestead Miami Speedway, like every mile and a half track this year. Does it change your approach at all? And does it maybe fit your style a little bit better? Because with the tire fall off, I would think it's going to be a little bit different than other mile and a half tracks.
Yeah, it's there's a couple tracks that we've kind of pinpointed that we feel like this race might play itself out like. And those races haven't been in a while. So, you know, a lot's changed in that time span. But overall, you know, I feel like JGR and the way our cars have been set up and Toyota and TRD, all the help that we've been getting from those guys bodes well. On paper, it does anyways. So we just have to make sure we execute and do a good job as a group first and then individually when it comes to the race on Sunday.
This is your fifth straight time in the championship round. So on one hand, that's great. I mean, you guys have done your job. That's the good part. But on the other hand, you were telling us earlier, you'd like to get 5 championships. You've got one. So what's it like, those emotions, knowing that, hey, we're back here for the fifth straight year, but at the same time, we got to start winning another championship if I want to hit that mark?
Yeah, it's right there. I mean, we just got to start winning it somehow, some way, and figuring out what it takes. And, you know, hopefully we can win the last one here at Homestead this year, and then it's going to move from there, you know. And how long does Phoenix get it? We don't know. And what tracks after Phoenix? We don't know. So it's just going to be a matter of in the now, though. You know, we got to focus on this weekend and being able to go out there and have the best preparation possible to be able to achieve. And hopefully Adam and the boys have done a really good job at the shop preparing a better 18 than 11 and 19, and we'll be fine.
All right, Kyle will try to be the best of the JGR cars. Krista, he goes for championship number 2 Sunday at Homestead Miami Speedway.
And here's what I like about Kyle. He said, well, we think we know how this race is going to play out, and those races were a while ago. Never said what races they were.
I was just going to say, what were those?
Well, but he wouldn't tell us.
Maybe a Chicago, something like that. I would say a little tire wear in there. But no, I think it's very interesting to hear his preparation and not changing his preparation, having been a part of this championship for so many times, only netting one championship. But I think that's very interesting to look into the psyche of Kyle Busch. You know, that's who he is. He's very confident in what has gotten him to this point. And you look at everything he's done in his career. He's very confident in the things he does inside the race car. He's very confident in the preparation he has. That is what makes him such a good race car driver. So I'm not surprised to hear him say, look, I'm not changing any of that. That's who I am. That's what I do. That's what you always notice about Kyle Busch. I think this is an interesting year. You know, for every reason, people keep saying, because they haven't won in a while, I think it's 21 races now, that, you know, the 18 cars, something's wrong, something's amiss. But you look, they have the best series average finish. They're going to finish no worse than fourth in the points.
Yeah, they made
you know,
the
if it goes
before.
All horribly wrong here at Miami,
yeah.
They've had a very successful season, four wins. I think this is, you know, this is an 18 car that absolutely is in championship form. It's then, you know, it's theirs for the taking if they want it.
Okay. Well, Kyle Busch, by the way, is also the all-time wins leader in the Xfinity Series, where Christopher Bell will try to win the title on Saturday. Bell won a Truck Series championship for Kyle Busch Motorsports, and since moving up to Xfinity, he's put up some historic numbers of his own. Bell spoke with Marty a short time ago in Miami.
Well, Christopher Bell will come into Miami maybe as a favorite. I don't know. Are you the favorite? I mean, you look at Texas, dominant win there, led the most laps at Phoenix, running up front. Do you think you're the favorite on Saturday?
Definitely like where we're at right now. It's tough. I mean, the double zero has been the kind of the shining star at Homestead the last 2 years. So right now I would say he's got to have an edge on us a little bit. But our cars are outstanding right now, as you've noted.
Yes.
We've put in a lot of time and effort into getting our cars to where they are today. And everyone's pretty proud of the piece that we're bringing this weekend.
Big week for your career. I mean, here you are on the precipice of maybe, you know, you won the Truck Series title, winning the Xfinity Series title. But you said you've been sad all week. Why have you been sad all week?
It's been an emotional week for me just because, I mean, the same thing happened whenever I left KBM.
Yeah.
I was at KBM for a number of years before I moved on to JGR. Mm-hmm. And now I've been at JGR for 2.5 years. I've got to race with all three of the different teams.
Yep.
So I've built relationships with a lot of people inside that the Xfinity shop. And this is it. This is my last week of being a JGR Xfinity driver. So it's definitely been an emotional week. And, and you know, starting a new job's a little bit stressful. So next week, I'm not going to be going to the Xfinity shop anymore, so I'm going to start heading over to LFR and getting to know those guys.
What's one thing that worries you about Saturday? I mean, traditionally, this has not been one of your better racetracks. You mentioned the momentum that you come in with and being better at Mile and a Half, but what's something that worries you Saturday?
Probably just the unknown. Last week, we kind of had I don't want to say a fluke, but definitely a miscommunication with the speeding on pit road. We practice that week in and week out to make sure that our pit road speeds are right on. And we missed somehow. So we definitely have to make sure that we dot our I's and cross our T's this week and don't have any mistakes on pit road from my side or the crew side. And then try and make sure that we keep the tires on it and don't get any flats, don't run anything over. So just the unknowns are what's the worry part.
Krista, I think for every driver, that's the one thing they worry about. Things out of their control, it certainly can affect who wins the title.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, he's emotional already about that. That was interesting, the young driver from Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing there also is that he's talking about execution, essentially, right? It's the little things that it's going to stop them from getting a championship. And I think that's funny because there's a pressure with the speed that this 20 car has shown all season to have 8 wins, to be the favorite coming in here, knowing that he wants to be one of those drivers that can get a Truck Series championship and an Xfinity Series championship and then move on to Cup. I think that comes with an inherent a lot of pressure. And therefore, you listen to him talk there. It's just the little things that they're focused on. But I think that's sort of where there's the chink in the armor for this 20 car. If it starts to go wrong at all, that can expose that pressure and maybe allow them to crumble in some respects when they've been the favorite all season long. So I think that's why when I look at this Xfinity Series championship battle amongst these four, you know, you would look at the 20 and say, that's the hands-down favorite. But I just don't think it is because of the inherent pressure of how good they've been.
It's so hard when it all comes down to one race.
Very hard.
More from Miami coming up, including chats with two more Xfinity title contenders, Justin Allgaier and Cole Custer. And the driver looking for his first Cup crown, Denny Hamlin, all coming up on NASCAR America.
whoever is going to advance, take that final position, has to win today.
The deciding blow could happen.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen in the late rounds. Okay. Grabs the control car on the outside. He gets a launch on that 24. Easily clearing Byron. 22, desperately trying to get every spot he can. Three wide. Denny got a great run here. Last couple of restarts are just going to be crazy. Guys are definitely going to be in each other's door. Joey staying on that quarter panel, trying to stay out there. He knows if he can be here down in turn one and two.
Always fun to check out Spy Cam. You can see more from the Dale Jr. Spy Cam at the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. Last week at Phoenix, Justin Allgaier took the Xfinity Series win and earned a chance to give Junior Motorsports its second straight championship. Justin spoke with Nate a short time ago.
Justin, you just said that you are enjoying yourself immensely and you're hoping to spoil everybody's party. So can you beat the big three on Saturday?
I think we can. You know, I feel like for us this season, you know, I look at it and I say, man, it's been a terrible year, right? And really the only reason for that is because we haven't gone to victory lane. But we've had so many chances to go there, and things have not played out the way that we want them to. But statistically, I look back on it, I'm like, man, it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was, right? It's way better than I thought it was going to be. You know, but at the end of the day, I feel like for me, I'm having more fun. I really changed my mentality. I switched gears in June and said, okay, mentally I have to do a better job of you know, kind of, I don't know the right word for it, kind of just accepting where things are at and you know, peaks and valleys, making all of those a lot narrower and enjoying the good days but not too much and not getting too disappointed in the bad days. And so I've had a lot more fun with it, and I'm enjoying the fact that we even made it to the playoffs alone to right. The final four at Homestead, and now we just got to go out there and execute. If we do that, I think we got as good a shot as any of the big three to pull off a championship.
So last year you said, even though you had a much better regular season, you felt like you were the problem in the playoffs. You pretty much beat yourself. So if you're able to you win at Phoenix and get here and now get the championship this year, how redemptive would it be, I guess, to be the guy who does it after kind of letting down the team last year?
I hadn't thought about it that way. But on the flip side, I think it would be a great thing. You know, as racers, we all say, oh man, the team worked really hard and they did a great job. You know, we all say the same thing. And I think that you don't realize how much effort and time these teams, these guys put into every one of these race cars. Whether you're running first or 40th, the time and the energy and the effort is the same. And the heart and soul that they put into it is really the same. So for me, letting my guys down last year was probably more disappointing than not having the finishes to show with it. So, you know, I think that You always want to make them proud. You always want to have good finishes, and if we could go in and pull it off, I don't know that it ever makes up for last year, but yeah. I feel like it goes a long way towards that.
All right, well, Justin will have that shot Saturday at Homestead Miami Speedway. Krista going for his first Xfinity championship.
Yeah, he said heart and soul. You know, a lot of ways, he's the heart and soul of the Xfinity Series. If Kevin Harvick's the old guy on Sunday's race, Justin Allgaier is against those young 20-somethings. I'm talking
he's
to a 20-something.
Yeah, the veteran out there. But I like what he said about changing his mental attitude and having fun. You know, I was talking to him this morning about that. And, you know, he mentioned that in doing so, he kind of looks at this Championship Four and this time around as nothing to lose. He said, look, the worst we're going to finish in the points, fourth. He said, that's a great year when we really only have one win at Phoenix. He said, you know, we look at statistically, this has been a good year, but one of the things he has tried to do throughout this year is just have more fun, just enjoy the process more of racing for a championship and racing in general, and he's been able to do that. So I asked him, you know, why was this going to be different than 2016 or 2017 when he was last in Championship Four, and he said, just because I'm enjoying this one more. So I really think that's sort of the ace in the pocket for the 7 car, and then you look at a guy who was generally the underdog last year, Ty Reddick, and he shocked everyone and went out there and won it. So that's why I feel very confident in that 7 car.
Yeah, we hope Justin enjoys whatever happens on Saturday, enjoys the ride. Well, on this day in NASCAR history, let's go back 20 years ago. Yeah, I'm talking again to a 20-something. Tony Stewart won the inaugural Cup Series race at Homestead Miami Speedway. Stewart was ultimately named 1999 Rookie of the Year.
I'm glad we repaved that track.
Do you like looking back at this?
I like looking back at it, but I'm really glad we repaved it.
This weekend, Tony and Stewart Haas Racing hope to not only capture the Cup Series title with Kevin Harvick, but also win it all in the Xfinity Series with Cole Custer, who came up just one spot short in Miami a year ago. He spoke with Marty.
Well, Krista, Cole Custer in the house. I got to ask you about the news of the day. Evidently, you're going to the Cup Series next year. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm just trying to focus on the Xfinity deal. You know, we got a big race ahead, so that's kind of my main focus. I've been trying to stay out of the talks a little bit, but I think we have a great shot at this title, so we got to make sure that we make the most out of it.
Things happen fast. Are you worried that sitting here on Thursday that news that it may or may not happen might affect the and be a distraction, might affect the team this weekend?
I don't think so. You know, as drivers, we're pretty good, and teams were pretty good at not at blocking things out. So yeah. I think going into it, we know what we got to do. I feel like I've studied a lot and made sure I know what I want to do the first lap I hit the racetrack. So just a matter of putting it all together.
All right, so when you look at the mile and a half program for teams in the Xfinity Series, you guys probably the best in overall speed. Does that make you the favorite this weekend, you feel like? And plus the fact that you've won here before and led the most laps in the last few races.
As a driver, I mean, competing in it, it's hard to say. It's hard to get into the whole favorite thing. I mean, you got to show up and be ready to compete against anybody. I mean, all four of us are going to have good cars, sure, and we're all going to be fast. We've definitely had really good mile and a half speed, especially at the wore out racetrack. So I think that's a plus for us. But at the same time, if you don't put it all together, you're not going to win it.
So it's a big three, and Justin Allgaier in the mix as well. Does it help you guys have raced around each other all year long? Like, do you know those other guys so well and their tendencies? And is that maybe an advantage for all of you?
Maybe a little bit, but obviously, like you said, everybody knows each other, so I don't know if anybody has really an upper hand on the other guy. But it's cool to be able to get to race against the guys you've been racing against up front all year, so I think it should be a good one.
Is there one thing you feel like gives you an advantage Saturday night?
You know, I think we've had really good speed in our cars. I mean, it's a track that I've been really good at the last couple of years, and I think Mike, my crew chief, I mean, with their performance last year with the 42 car, they were extremely good also. Mm-hmm. So I think this year, I'm looking forward to coming back and trying to put it all together.
A lot of news surrounding Cole Custer today. We'll see what happens in the future on that. But for now, trying to win an Xfinity Series championship in 2019, Krista.
Yeah, like Marty said, that is the focus. I mean, Cole did everything right, sort of dancing around it. Again, the news from the top of the hour, sources saying that Cole Custer will replace Daniel Suarez in that 41 for Stewart Haas Racing this weekend. He's racing for the Xfinity Series title for that organization.
And I don't think that is a distraction for a young driver. I think that's a boost of confidence, knowing, hey, you got a ride and you're moving up to the Cup Series, what you've always dreamed about. But, when you talk to the other three championship contenders in the Xfinity Series, when they talk about this Double Zero car, they're going to mention one thing, and that's how fast he was not running the wall. They're going to, now we show him running the wall there, but that was not where he mainly was fast.
He
was very fast in the middle of the track, on the bottom of the track. That's where he really was getting away from the rest of the field. And so when they look at this battle, they'll all look at that and say, okay, we're all talking about running the wall, yeah, but that Double Zero car found a way to be really fast, not doing it, not taking that risk. If he can pull that off again and not have the pit stop strategy that sort of took it away from last year, I think you look at the Double Zero as being probably the speed-wise, the one at this specific track that these guys are saying, okay, we've got to match him, we've got to beat him.
Yeah, we kind of said it all through the playoffs. If that Double Zero makes it to Miami, kind of watch out.
Exactly.
We'll have to see.
Exactly.
Well, Sunday may be the day that Denny Hamlin has been waiting for, and not just because it's the day before his birthday. Where does he stand as he prepares for what could be the biggest race of his life? We will hear from Denny next. In Phoenix, and he did. Now he's back on the Cup title stage in Miami. Can he win the big one? He talked with Marty earlier.
Well, Krista, Denny invented a new word this week, wamboozled, which I had never heard of in my entire life. Wamboozled. How did the whole Kyle running in New York thing start?
So,
just a whim or
no?
Or
we were done with one of the stations or whatever.
Yeah.
We're heading back to the hotel to go to lunch. And we looked, and it was 5.2 miles. It was 47 minutes. 47 minutes,
in
right?
The car.
We're like, gosh. And Kyle's like, man, I could run that in 47 minutes. And so I'm like, you said you could do what? And so I think that where Kyle got us is that he hit the walk button,
yeah,
on the GPS.
Shorter route.
Right. And it he took the shorter route. I mean, what we thought we were wagering on was a 5.2-mile run, and what ended up being a 1.8-mile run.
Much shorter.
Much shorter. And when you think about, and when you think about, you know, let's discredit it as much as we possibly can here. Of course, it took him 20 minutes to run 1.8 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, you
so
can
now
nearly
you start doing the math
you
on
can
that.
Nearly
yeah.
trot.
Correct.
That.
Right, which he might have done. So, yeah. All right, let's talk about racetrack stuff. Normally when you win the race before, there's a lot of momentum the next week. I want to ask you an interesting question. Is it harder to carry momentum from Phoenix to Miami? Because of, this race is almost like on its own island with all the stuff that goes on during the week. It's almost like you forget about what happened last Sunday.
I haven't.
I'm sure
I
you
haven't,
haven't
for
yeah, yeah.
sure. I mean, it's just it was such a high, such a huge win, and I mean, 2016 Daytona 500 is a big one, but man, Phoenix is that one really moved up the list. And so, just for the significance of it, I just think that we've got a free shot to go win a championship this weekend. After Texas, it was not looking good. The odds were clearly going to be stacked against us in the point situation we were in. And so, we've already run Homestead. We won Homestead last week. Yeah. It was a winner-go-home situation.
Good
we
point.
Did it. And now we've got that opportunity again. And so, we performed our best when all the chips were on the table.
Right.
And so that, to me, says a lot about our team and what we were capable of doing and hopefully what we're capable of doing this weekend.
I want to ask you about how you're going to handle this weekend because in 2010 – you kind of shut everybody out. Even in 2014, you didn't want your manager to talk a lot about the activities of the weekend. This year, you're saying, you know what? I'm going to do it differently. I want to have late dinners. I want to have my friends and family. And why are you doing it differently this time around?
I'm just going to be me. I mean, I just found that, in 2010, when I had that go wrong, in 2011, I had a very subpar year. I think we won a race, maybe. Yeah. Maybe two, but I think this year I've had some other things that I've definitely worked on that has helped me personally and professionally that has taken my game to the next level.
Right.
And it's carried really all through the season.
Well, Chris, certainly his game was on next level last week at Phoenix. He's hoping for what would probably be, I think he's safe to say, back-to-back biggest wins of his career. If he pulls it off at Miami, he'll be the champion in 2019.
Denny is nodding. He agrees with Marty. And I like that, Parker, a free shot. I mean, it's sort of the right, at least, perspective to take maybe the pressure off.
No doubt. And I think the thing really to focus on with Denny was that last bit there about how he's changed his mental approach. You know, when you look back at those seasons of 2010, you know, think of almost how he crumbled. That 11 team crumbled as they had the pressure of winning a championship put upon them going up against the 48 car. And I think that he's worked on that so much so. And that's really what's given me confidence, this 11 car, is you've seen that out of Denny. You've seen him act more himself, be more lax in where he is, be more confident in who he is as a race car driver. And I just think that lines up incredibly well where they are right now to go out and win a championship. Add in Chris Gabehart, who has obviously been a great influence in this race team, who's really, you know, put this race team and really pumped Denny up and not let him, you know, find ways to go down the wrong path. He's always steered him the right way. I think, you know, when I look at that call at Phoenix for two tires,
I
thought it was one of the worst calls I've ever seen in my life. I was totally wrong. Chris Gabehart proved us wrong, and I think that's why this team is primed positioned to go win a championship.
It's going to be fun to kind of see Denny sort of versus those former champions. Everybody has a different story, and that's what makes any championship so impressive and so entertaining. Well, we have heard from all eight championship drivers, but the question remains, who will be crowned champion? We will discuss that. We're going to put Parker on the spot next. This Sunday, go inside the race for the championship with NASCAR Hot Pass at 3 Eastern here on NBCSN. Hot Pass focuses solely on the Championship 4 drivers with in-car cameras, team radio, and up-to-the-minute stats to track their progress. You will also get a behind-the-scenes look at the action on the Dale Jr. Spy Cam. It's all on Hot Pass Sunday at 3 Eastern right here. Hey, lots more news around this weekend's season finale. Daniel Hamrick running his last race for RCR, but Parker, he's got a new ride lined up for next year.
Yeah, he's going to the Xfinity Series for 21 races at Junior Motorsports. That's going to be awesome. Go out there and try and win some races.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on Daniel Hamrick. Also in the news, Matt Tift and Front Row Motorsports have mutually parted ways as Tift hopes to focus on his health. We wish him the best.
Absolutely. He's been a fun to watch throughout the series, but obviously health comes first, and hopefully he'll be back racing soon.
Such a hard worker. I mean, redefining perseverance after going through a surgery, for sure. Another Front Row driver, David Ragan, is signing off on his full-time career after 13 seasons. One of the good guys in the sport.
Absolutely. It's going to be very emotional for him stepping in that car, obviously, and I think that's one of the things that people don't always focus on. That moment is going to hit him right there as he's getting in that car, huge. Thinking this is the last time.
We're glad his family is going to be there. Family also going to be there for Paul Menard. He is ending his full-time career in Miami. He prepares to hand over the 21 car to Matt DiBenedetto.
And I just talked to him last week, and he's very much looking forward to this time away from driving full-time. He said he's very content with his career, very happy with his decision, looking forward to this next chapter.
We wish David and Paul the best. We'll be rooting for them in Miami. And also, Parker, your friends at Gaunt Brothers Racing have a newcomer in the 96 this weekend.
Right, so I've got to work with NBC this weekend, cover the Championship Four, so my team wanted to go to this race, and Drew Herring is going to be making his Cup Series debut. Oh,
wow.
Good friend of mine, total wheel man. Very excited for him to get this opportunity. It's going to be fun to watch.
All right, no conflict of interest on your reporting, though.
No. I probably won't even be in my pits.
Always the professional.
Yes.
Okay, so the time has come. You're going to make your championship picks.
Ooh.
Who wins the Xfinity Series title this weekend?
This is a tough one. I'm very torn. I think this is one of the most competitive we've ever seen. But for some reason, I don't know why, I'm just going to say Justin Allgaier shocks them all and beats all the young guys going to Cup, apparently, and goes
kind
out there.
Under the radar.
Yes, under the radar. Sneaks in with that win at Phoenix, basically, and is going to go out there and get this championship for the first time. And that'd be huge for him.
Joey Logano kind of did it last year versus the Big Three in the
That's
Cup Series.
On.
Okay, so let's turn to Cup. Who wins the title on Sunday?
All right, maybe I'm on a theme of guys that have won at Phoenix, but I've been on this guy from the start
mm-hmm.
of the playoffs,
know
actually before
going.
The playoffs. I'm going to say Denny Hamlin gets his first Cup Series championship. This is just for whatever reason, this year feels like the stars are aligning for the 11 car for Denny Hamlin, Chris Gabehart. I just feel like that duo are impeccable, and this is their year to go out and get that championship.
Okay, so the momentum from Phoenix carries on to Miami in both the Xfinity and the Cup Series,
yep.
according to Parker.
I could be wrong, though.
You've been wrong before.
I have, yes.
But we like to kind of put you out on a limb and say, make your picks.
I'm out there. I'm
Eight
out there.
Title
That's
contenders hailing from six different states. California, the only state with more than one driver. On that note, we know the news across the nation, specifically in the home state of Harvick, Custer, and Reddick, has been bleak today. We hope this show has been an escape for many of you. Parker and I will be back in the studio next Thursday for a special look back at the 29th season. Hug your kids and have a safe night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.